Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live and local sports talk from the upstate
for the upstate
with G-Mac, JC, and Lonzo. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Okay, let's go.
Welcome back into The Huddle, ESPN Upstate, 4 minutes after 3 o'clock with Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, and Lonzo here on Thursday afternoon, the 19th of January. We are, guys, about a month away from our three-year anniversary here on ESPN Upstate. It seems like just yesterday. But February 24th, this station went on the air. In 2014. So coming up on 3 years, and it has been rapid growth for this radio station. We have pretty quickly become the number one sports station in the upstate, and we thank you, our listeners, for that. There have been some challenges, and Greenville FM coverage has been one of them. We're on 105.9 FM in Greenville, and that has been good, but not great. We're about to make it better as we look toward the future and bigger and better things. So this coming Saturday, right around 9 a.m., what you're hearing on 105.9 FM is going to go away. So don't look for us on 105.9 after Saturday. The good news is we will be moving frequencies to 97.7 FM in Greenville. The better news is we'll be at a higher transmitter location, and that means improved coverage. So if you've struggled to get us on FM in Greenville at 105.9, maybe you're listening to 1330 AM, and that will remain. Check out 97.7 starting on Saturday after 9 AM. 97.1 remains in Spartanburg. It's a very good signal. Really covers Spartanburg County very well, and you can hear it outside of Spartanburg County, over into Cherokee and down into Union, even up into North Carolina. But Greenville 105.9 will cease as ESPN Upstate on Saturday morning. 97.7 will be your new frequency on the FM dial in Greenville. Pretty exciting stuff there, JC, because that means an opportunity for us to reach more people.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. You know, the more people that hear us, the better. And certainly we love the people that listen to us right now on all the frequencies and also on online and all that good stuff. But, yeah, the coverage in Greenville improving is outstanding. It's the largest county, obviously, in our, area. We're right here in the middle of it. And I think it'll be a good thing to kind of, because we have a lot of Spartanburg listeners. A lot of them are active participants on our show.
Sure.
It'll be good to kind of expand it over this way a little bit and get more coverage here, you know, up and down 385, up and down I-85, up towards the mountains, that kind of thing. Because there are a lot of sports fans here, and we think that we bring a unique perspective to sports talk radio and an informed perspective. And, that's exciting. That's why we do it. So we can inform and entertain and all that good stuff. And the more people, the better.
You know, the other cool thing about it that I like is, how close it is to the Spartanburg frequency. So, kind of 97 is, the main thing you need to remember. We're right there, whether you're in Greenville or Spartanburg.
If we were a country outfit, we would be called the Big 97.
We could be Sports 97.
Sports 97.
Yeah. So. Call 1-800-97-SPORTS. Now, no new phone numbers, nothing like that. But 97.7 will be our frequency starting Saturday morning around 9 a.m. Engineers will be making that switch over. So don't panic if you tune on 105.9 and don't hear us, just going up the dial. You can go ahead and set a button right now on your car radio to 97.7. Especially a lot of people travel between Greenville and Spartanburg. So, you know, they'll tell us, you know, they'll switch from one frequency to the other. And you can still do that. That still makes sense. But they'll be closer together and the Greenville signal will be better. So we're excited about that. We hope you are too. The AM signals will remain 950 AM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Greenville. And those AM signals really get out, especially daytime. You can hear those things a lot further than you can the FMs. Problem with AM signals is you go directional at night. And sometimes, you know, in the wintertime, night is early. Night is 5:30 or earlier. So, you know, that affects the consistency of that signal on the AM band. But the FM will be consistent, and it'll be 97.7 in Greenville starting on Saturday morning. You can always stream our broadcast to ESPNUpstate.com. That won't change. The only change, 105.9 FM goes away, 97.7 FM arrives. We're around 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. So thank you for supporting us for this first 3 years. And this is a signal to you that we are here for the long term and going to make things bigger and better. And we are really excited about that. Glad to share that news with you and hope you'll spread the word for us so that folks aren't frantically searching starting on the weekend for our FM signal in Greenville. All right, coming up on Sunday, you know, the other good thing is that you get to hear all these great, we have so many games on this station. Mm-hmm. We have all the good stuff, really, including the NFL playoffs and the Super Bowl this year. And this Sunday is a big, big day for NFL action with the NFC and AFC championship games. We've talked a good bit about Green Bay, Atlanta, not just because I'm a Packers fan, but because JC is a Falcons fan.
Yes.
And because the Falcons are one of our area teams. But we want to talk a little bit about the other game, the AFC game, as the Pittsburgh Steelers try to figure out how to upset the Death Star, the New England Patriots, and Belichick, and Brady. And what can they do? Do they have a chance to go into New England and win? Brian Billick, former coach of the Ravens, now with the NFL Network, talks about what he thinks the Steelers have to do to be successful on Sunday.
The defense has made significant strides, and particularly when they put Dupree and Harrison opposite one another on a consistent basis. I think Harrison's health is a major question that affects the outcome of this, but if they play, I think that that defense has stepped up to the point that they're capable. I mean, the things that you've got to do to go in and win in Foxborough, the last team that did it was Baltimore in the playoffs, and what they have to do? They have to run the ball well. Check. They can do that. They have to come up with explosive plays. Yes, they can do that. You have to put pressure on Brady, and you have to be effective in the red zone. That's my biggest concern right now. After what we saw Pittsburgh, all but with a great win, leaving themselves vulnerable in the red zone against Kansas City. If you do that against New England, you're dead.
Another key matchup will be Antonio Brown, who is probably not going to be doing anything on Facebook Live on Sunday, against Malcolm Butler of the Patriots. Good matchup there, the cornerback for the Patriots. So can he control Antonio Brown? That's a key matchup. What kind of game will Brady have against that Pittsburgh defense? Can Big Ben match Brady out? This is a postseason more than any I remember in recent history where the quarterbacks are all just great. I mean, this tells you how important quarterback play is in the NFL, when you've got the elite quarterbacks, really. Some people might not consider Matt Ryan elite. He's had an elite year, JC. He's had a great year.
And look, here's the thing. I think in football in general, quarterback play is very important. And really, no more so than the NFL. And look, sometimes there's a Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson that leads his team to a Super Bowl win. But most of the time, the teams that go to the playoffs and win the championships are really good at quarterback. And this year is sort of proof of that. I mean, you look and you've got Tom Brady, of course, Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, and Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, those, you know, that's the Steelers and the Patriots. Or the Steelers haven't been to an AFC title game since 2010, but they're a playoff team just about every year. They're good just about every year. You know, they have a good defense. They run the ball, but they have a great quarterback. And that's the same way with the Patriots. And, you know, Matt Ryan, it's no coincidence that in his best year so far, the Falcons are in the NFC Championship game. I mean, you have to have a supporting cast, but I think quarterback is just so important. And I think that's true in college, too. I mean, we've talked a lot about where Clemson would be without Deshaun Watson and sort of how good he is and how much he makes a difference for the rest of the team. And, you know, you kind of can compare it to – that's why Clemson's got some question marks next year. They have some talented guys waiting in the wings, but nobody that's proven it. And look down the road at South Carolina. I think the trajectory of that program changed once they found their quarterback. I mean, you know, you look – you got Jake Bentley, and he was the best one, and he played the best, and he led them to the most success this past year, four of their six wins, and – you know, the future's all of a sudden bright down there, and a lot of it has to do with Jake Bentley at quarterback and the fact that the most important position on the field is taken care of. And you can look at, you know, some other teams that have been around. I mean, how much better was South Carolina when they quit going with Chris Smalley and Tommy Beecher and those cats, and then they got Garcia for a few years who was good, you know, and had some really good moments. And then Connor Shaw, who was great, takes over. I mean, look at how they improved. And Clemson as well. Look at the 2014 season where when Watson would play versus when they had to go with Cole Stout, you know, the Russell Athletic Bowl notwithstanding. So I think that, you know, we can kind of look at pro football, and this is one of the things you can do, and see, well, who's good every single year? Well, it's the teams that have the great quarterbacks. And when you have a year like the Falcons have had, where your good quarterback has a great season, you know, that can elevate your franchise. And obviously it has. So I think that this is a testament to that. And you look at the AFC, and that's going to be the key is, you know, can Pittsburgh disrupt New England's very good, precise quarterback? And I'm curious to see if it happens because, you know, that's a defense that's got a lot of pride that in doing that and that can definitely get that done. And, you know, they have a quarterback, so it should be a great matchup for those reasons. But that's, you know, example A of why quarterback play is so important. That's why you can't make mistakes in recruiting at the college level. And that's why you can't draft Deshaun Kizer over Deshaun Watson if you're in the at the pro level.
On the other side of the ball, I think it's important that the Steelers, they're going to have to be balanced in order to have a chance against New England. I don't think they can rely on just the run or the pass primarily here. And they can do both effectively. They got Le'Veon Bell. That's an awesome running back and somebody that can get it done on the ground. But then can Antonio Brown and some of these other receivers, they have Hayward Bay, they have Eli Rogers, they have Sammy Coates, good receivers for Pittsburgh. Can those guys get it done against Malcolm Butler and Cyrus Jones and Logan Ryan and those defensive backs for New England? Love those matchups. I think Roethlisberger's success throwing the ball against New England certainly will be key here, and he looks to be pretty healthy. Looked pretty good last time around in the championship game against Kansas City. And you know, when these two teams played in the regular season, it was Landry Jones that played for the Steelers here. And they had 281 yards receiving, 106 of those off of seven receptions by Antonio Brown. So if Landry Jones can find those receivers, you have to think that that Roethlisberger will have some success on Sunday.
Landry Jones is. So we will see what ultimately happens on that end. But, yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing. And, do I think the Steelers are going to win? No. But do I think they have a shot? Absolutely. I think that, you know, and one of the big reasons is their quarterback and their run game, Le'Veon Bell. But, you know, you go that into the teeth of the Patriots' run defense, that's a difficult matchup. That's what I love about this game. I mean, obviously I'm going to watch every down of the Packers and Falcons, but I love the Pittsburgh-New England matchup. I mean, it's just NFL football, but it's strength on strength. I talked about this yesterday. This is a grown man's football game that's going to take place in Massachusetts. They still play in Foxborough.
Foxborough,
Massachusetts on Sunday about 6:40 Eastern.
Yeah. Green Bay, Atlanta is the early game about 3:05. By the way, the folks at NFL Nation have named Vic Beasley, the Falcons outside linebacker, as the NFC South defensive MVP. Okay. NFL Nation covers that division for ESPN.com, and they say that Beasley's the man. He had 15 and a half sacks, so why not? Great year for the former Clemson player for the Atlanta Falcons, and He'll be down there chasing Aaron Rodgers coming up on Sunday afternoon. So his challenge is certainly going to be there. 844-477-3776. Text line is 71307. And Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We have a chance for you to win coming up. We'll ask you a trivia question related to the Atlanta Falcons coming up for you to win tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show this weekend in Greenville. Stand by for that. The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
You're in the Huddle. G-Mac, Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
3:24, welcome back into the Huddle. ESPN Upstate, G-Mac, J.C., and Lonzo with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon. As you missed our announcement a few minutes ago, on Saturday morning, ESPN Upstate moving FM frequencies in the Greenville area, Greenville coverage area, from 105.9 FM to 97.7 FM. That'll happen about 9 o'clock Saturday morning. So spread the word for us on that, because it's just a couple days away. We want you to be able to find us. 844-GSP-ESPN will give you the chance to win those auto show tickets here in a couple of minutes. Let's go to the phone right now and talk to Billy in Taylor's. Hello, Billy.
Hey, Greg. Listen, I just wanted to call and congratulate you. I was on suicide watch till about yesterday, so, you know, it is what it is. I can promise you this, there'll be no bigger Falcons fan than me on Sunday, but, hey, you won fair and square, and I didn't foresee any of that. I thought the way that it played out, it was going to go the opposite way. I thought we were going to jump on you guys. And, you know, I know it was early in the game, but I thought the turning point, honestly, Greg, in that game was when Dallas didn't go for 4th-and-2. I just, you've got to put your foot on Aaron Rodgers' throat when you get a chance to. You can't beat Green Bay when they're playing the way that they are right now by scoring field goals.
Yep.
And I think early on in that Falcons game, you'll know right away if Atlanta's going to compete or not, because if they're scoring touchdowns, then they're probably going to have a chance to win. But if they're kicking a lot of field goals early in the first half, then I think you can just forget it, because you can't get ahead of them that way. And then that unleashes their defense. You know, their defense is not great, but when they know you're going to pass the ball the way that they, you know, pretty much New Dallas is going to, then, you know, you just dig in your own grave, and that's exactly what Dallas did. And I thought it was pretty obvious, too, early in the game that Dallas was going to have problems, because you guys came out with 9 in the box, and I'm thinking they must have let them in, and they still tried to force it down your throat. Now, I understand Dallas has got a great offensive line, and I think Zeke may be, you know, top 3 running backs in the league. I don't think nobody would argue with that.
Right.
But I don't care who you are, and I don't care how good your offensive line is. You've got to take what the offense is giving you. That's the reason why you've got the pieces that you've got. And I think had Romo, and I'm not making excuses. I don't want you to take it this way. I think had Romo been in there, they would have been a little bit different, because they let him go to the line and change the play based upon how the defense lines up. And Dak hadn't got to that point yet.
Right.
You know,
no.
He's got to run the play that's being called in. And, hey, kudos to you guys. I mean, hey, first of all, Aaron Rodgers played sensational. And secondly, I think your coaching staff is vastly underrated. I really do. I don't think you've got a great offensive line, and I don't think you've got a great defense, and you still find ways to win games. And I know Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of that credit, Greg, but honestly, that coaching staff's got a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, I think the offensive line is a good pass-blocking line. They're not a good run-blocking line. But that's why, Billy, I think, was it Trent Dilfer we were playing sound from yesterday, who was saying he thought the Falcons might play ball control this weekend and not throw it as much. Man, you better score every point you can from the get-go.
That's what Dallas tried, and you've seen what happened. They got behind, and then they had to start opening it up, and it was too late. I mean, if they had played the way that they played in the second half, and I know momentum changed and all, but if they'd opened it up early, I think they would have had a good shot to win, maybe even going away, because their offense is dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Atlanta's. But if they come out and try to play ball control, then they're playing right into Green Bay's hands, and I think it may get ugly the other way. I'm going to go ahead and pick Atlanta, but I'm not sure about that, and I'm not sure about the other either. I think New England's probably going to win because they're playing at home, but it wouldn't shock me if Pittsburgh won. I think personnel-wise, Pittsburgh's probably got the best of what's left, you know, in the remaining 4, but that didn't always work out. Personnel's not well-win games. I mean, I think a lot of people would have probably taken Dallas' personnel outside of Aaron Rodgers over Green Bay's. Maybe it's close, but I still think they would have taken Dallas' personnel, and you've seen how that worked out. But honestly, though, Greg, offensive-wise, Atlanta's the best team in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. It's been proven all year long. Julio Jones is a nightmare matchup for anybody. There's nobody that can cover him. I mean, if I was Green Bay, I would put 2 guys on him and make somebody else beat me. That's just how I would play him.
He has.
Anyway, Greg, congratulations,
thank
buddy.
You, man.
I mean, in all seriousness, I know you're happy, and I'm not lying. That hurt me more than any game since 1981, and you know what happened to that.
Wow.
Point,
so, 1981. Wow.
And here's the thing about Dallas, though. I got over it about probably a day later, seriously,
yeah,
because they've got a lot of young, good talent.
Oh, they're going to be good.
Probably going to win Super Bowls with this
yeah.
roster.
You'll be fine.
But that one day, it hurt. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you, Billy.
Take care, buddy.
Appreciate that. Julio Jones has that toe injury, and he has not been practicing. Missed practice again today. That's the second consecutive day that he has missed practice. But the Falcons say, don't get too excited, Green Bay fans. He will play on Sunday. Jones talked to the media. He says, I got a little snag. He says, we'll check it out. It's fine. I will be ready to go. I would love it if Julio Jones was not 100% on Sunday, but I'm not counting on that.
No, that's something to watch, though. I mean, you could downplay it all you want, but the fact is he's not practicing. And,
right.
You know, if he's just – if he's off – or,
yeah.
or not 100%, that plays into the Packers' hands because it can throw the rhythm of that offense off tremendously.
Yeah, he says he doesn't take painkillers. He just plays through the pain. And he's had a bunch of foot problems, toe problems, foot surgeries and all that, but he said he doesn't think he's going to have foot issues for the rest of his career. I mean, some people are starting to question that because he's had them for a while now. But, yes, Julio will be going on Sunday, and Jordy Nelson will not be going on Sunday, and that's advantage Falcons. But we'll see how it all plays out. You can hear it right here on ESPN Upstate. Starting at 2 o'clock with our coverage, first game is Green Bay, Atlanta, followed by New England and Pittsburgh. All right, let's give away 4 tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show. It's coming up this weekend, TD Convention Center in Greenville, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's a good deal. I've been out there before, and you're a car guy or a car girl, you will love it. We'll give you 4 tickets. You can take the whole family. Here's what you do. Answer this question by calling us at 844-477-3776. And this is a Falcons trivia question for the car show tickets. That's pretty simple. What year did the Atlanta Falcons make their first NFC championship game appearance? What year was it? Falcons been around a long time. When did it come in? The 60s? Been around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Took them a while to get to the NFC championship. What year was it? 844-477-3776. We cannot take texts or tweets on the contest. Got to be a phone call. And Alonzo will get you in with us. And the first correct caller will win 4 tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show. It's coming up this weekend in Greenville. Who we have, Alonzo?
We have John.
All right, John, you get the first crack. What's your answer?
Coming up 2001.
That is not it, John. Thanks for trying. What year did the Falcons make their first NFC championship appearance? Is this going to be a hard question, JC?
There's technically 2 answers to it, but it's...
Uh-oh. Did you give me a bad question?
No. Well, I mean, it's calendar-wise, it's a weird...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
But 2001 is not right.
No, 2001 is neither of the 2 years.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right, we have Cliff.
Cliff, what's your answer?
How about 1987?
No, Cliff. Thank you. Good try. So if we get on that 1-2, yeah, because of the December-January stuff, right?
Yeah.
Basically what you're talking about. So we'll qualify that if we get the right guess here.
All right, we have Scott now.
Scott, welcome in. What's your answer?
I want to say 1978.
Not it, Scott. Thank you. You guys think the Falcons have been winning more than they have. 844-477-3776. Is the phone number if you want to guess.
I'm surprised it's taking this long.
All right. It usually does. All right. Yeah, Rocky?
Rocky, you are next. What's your guess?
I'm going to say 1999.
All right, JC, I'm going to appeal to you here.
Yes.
We're going to give it to him?
That's one of the 2. Yeah, it's the 98 season, but in 1999, they was their first NFC Championship game, and they went to the Super Bowl. So you're the winner.
Yes.
Good job, Rocky. Yeah. And then lost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, lost Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's it. 99, end of the 98 season. Rocky, you have won 4 tickets to the South Carolina Auto Show coming up this weekend. Hang on. Lonzo will get your information and get you all set up. We appreciate it. All right, if you want to get in now, not to win the contest, but just talk sports with us, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text line is 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. Back in a moment. This is The Huddle. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Sports Talk from the Upstate for the Upstate with G-Mac, JC, and Alonzo. This is The Huddle on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome back, The Huddle. ESPN Upstate. Should we stay or should we go? The Burns Rebels are going to stay and go. Just announced this. I just got this from Tony Gillespie, the athletic director over at Burns. They have signed a two-year deal to play football with Don Bosco Preparatory High School. That is in Ramsey, New Jersey. JC, you're a recruiting guy, so you're familiar with the area. That's pretty close to New York, right?
Yeah, you can actually see some of the skyline of Manhattan from parts of the school, but it's right across over there in northern Jersey, and they're a powerhouse. It's a school that's put out a lot of good Division I talent over the years and also a school that wins quite a bit.
Very good. The first game, though, this coming season, September 1st, 2017, will be here at Nixon Field. And then on August 31st of 2018, Burns will go up to Ramsey, New Jersey, and play Don Bosco there. So a two-year deal with Don Bosco High School for the Burns Rebels football team. That's pretty cool. I know they have been talking to some Miami schools, but looks like they've gone a different direction. And so that's cool. They're still traveling. You know, Burns has been a traveling team throughout the years, and they're not going to change that. Also, checking on the high school coach situation at Burns, and got an update there, and that is coming soon. Coming soon. By the end of the month, they will announce their football coach at Burns High School. So they're getting close. They've been doing the interviews, and they're getting close. I was up there last night for the football awards ceremony, and great turnout. And, you know, Burns won 3 games this year, 3-7. They seem pretty confident that they're going to turn that around, even though they haven't named the new coach yet. There's a lot of confidence in the room last night. Big turnout, as always, for their awards banquet. And we presented the ESPN Upstate Player of the Year Award last night to Aaron Watson, defensive back. Had a great year. He also won the school's MVP award last night as well. But there were a bunch of awards, and a bunch of guys were honored for their football prowess at Burns High School last night, and it was a good night over there. But congratulations to the ESPN Upstate Player of the Year, Aaron Watson. And it was an honor to go over there and hand out the trophy last night for that one. It's a good event always over at Burns High School. Got a little bit of an NFL note. You may have heard this from ESPN on their updates. My favorite coach, Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, they may lose their second-round pick in the draft next year. Second round, that's a pretty high pick. All of this because they did not disclose a knee injury to Richard Sherman. ESPN's Chris Mortensen reporting this. Pete Carroll revealed this injury on a radio interview. Got to watch those radio guys. They'll get you in trouble. This happened Monday. He was on ESPN Radio in Seattle. And he revealed in that interview that Sherman dealt with an MCL injury for the entire second half of the season. Well, problem is they didn't tell anybody that. You're supposed to report injuries in the NFL. That's the rule. So the NFL is investigating right now. The Seahawks say they're cooperating. Sources say the club is contending that because Sherman never missed a snap during the season, they should not be severely penalized. The league had already handed down a fifth-round forfeiture to the Seahawks on September 19th for a repeat violation of rules governing off-season workouts. Sources tell Mortensen that an elevation of that penalty to a second-round forfeiture is under serious consideration. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Huh, Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I know you like him. Yeah, I know you like him. I do not.
He's literally the nicest guy.
He's not the nicest guy.
He is a very nice person.
You talk to him?
Yes, I have. When he was at Southern Cal and he was recruiting, and yeah, but he was like, man, like I really like
when he was cheating.
Work. And
is that when you talked to him when he was cheating at Southern Cal?
I give up, man. Look, I like Pete Carroll. I think he's a good, he's a positive person.
He, fake.
A lot of people from California are that way. They're like, if you ever have to do any kind of business with people from California and you're in a meeting and they know you're in the South, they're from the South, you could have the best idea in the world. You could be like, listen, I think the sky needs to be painted blue. And they'll look at you, go, yeah, you know, that's a nice color and all, but you know, I kind of like it, you know, green.
Yeah.
And
that sounds about like Pete to me.
Let's go with green. You know, I mean, it's like that. But some people I've worked with in California, very nice people, just completely, both arrogant and ignorant at the same time.
Well, look, I mean, if they lose a second round pick, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, you get great player. You can get a good player anywhere in the draft, but second round, you can get some big time players. So, if they have to forfeit that, they'll learn a lesson for not reporting Richard Sherman's injury. Back on Twitter today, Johnny Manziel. That's always good. Johnny Football. He says on Twitter that he's trying to be a better person. He's thanking everyone who helped him during a rough 2016. He tweeted this, "Haven't been this happy in a long time, man. I appreciate all the people in my life who reached out during the truly rough patches in 16. Then he said the thing that's getting retweeted the most, and I'm not going to say the word. I don't think I could say it, but I'm not going to. No lie, I was a...
Thank you for not saying the word.
Feminine hygiene product.
There we go.
In 2016.
No.
He said, I'm just trying to be a good person again. And then he said, hashtag lost in the sauce.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Hashtag lost in the sauce. I love that. Ask if someone had hacked his account. Manziel said, nope. Admitting is the first step. He said, he also said, I have to live these words, not just tweet them. That is right, Johnny. You have to do that. Think you'll play again?
No.
I don't either. I mean, he's done. Lonzo, think Manziel plays again?
Where?
NFL.
I was going to say, you weren't specific.
Canada or something.
Well, he could play. He could be in the Arena League. I think it would be an awesome Arena League. Not just a quarterback, but a draw. I mean, think if you get him to come play for your team. My people go watch that.
Yeah. No, he could do that. I just don't think he makes
it. Yeah, he's probably done in the NFL, but it wouldn't shock me if he doesn't show up in the Arena League somewhere.
Well, maybe this is a good sign. He's coming clean, admitting he was wrong. I mean, he wasn't doing that for a long time.
Or there's that new NFL developmental league that's coming.
I think they got delayed.
Yeah.
I think they got another one Garcia was going to play in.
No, there's another new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're actually targeting high school level kids or college level kids that don't want to play college. Everybody's like, it's going to be a game changer. BS. It'll be done in in a year, and nobody's going to get paid. They're not going
to
pay.
They need to bring back the XFL because he would be perfect for the XFL.
Yeah. He hate me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, why not? Someone get McMahon on the phone. We got to do this.
Did you ever go to one of those arena games in Greenville when they had them?
I did.
They were bad.
Yeah, I went to the
fun.
I think I went to the very first one because I worked in the building across from it when I still have the Rhinos. That's who it was. Yeah, actually, I tried out for the Rhinos. Mm-hmm. So, as a radio bit where I signed a thing that said it wasn't a radio bit, knowing good and well it was a radio bit, and pretty embarrassing for me, but it wasn't too bad.
What do you mean pretty embarrassing? The tryout?
Yeah, because I hadn't played in, I don't know, 15 years or something like that, and we wanted to see what it was like from the inside, and I ran a 5.2, which wasn't bad.
No, that's really a good number.
But I ran a 4.8 to 4.9 in college, and then I completely broke my knee and have a reconstructed knee. So with a reconstructed knee, I ran a 5.2 twice. Mm. So I was happy about that. Then they went to bench to 250, and I skipped it.
So were you like eliminated, or did you withdraw?
I wasn't picked. No, yeah. I mean, I stayed there till the end, and we talked about it and everything. It was pretty cool. I got to see someone, I forget his name, Shorty Pullen or something. I'm trying to remember his name. He ran like a 4.2. I'd never seen that in person. It was the fastest thing I'd ever seen in person.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Shorty Pullen.
I think that was his name. I could be wrong.
No, I don't know. It could be, but I don't know that.
I have to look it up now.
Yeah. 844-GSP-ESPN. Got to hit our final break. If you want to get in, last call for phone calls today in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll come back and wrap things up for this Thursday in a moment. Stay with us.
You're in the huddle. G-Mac, Greg McKinney, J.C. Sherbert, and Lonzo on ESPN Upstate.
Clean up a few things here. In the final 5 minutes of the show, JC, you were passing along a note about Deke Adams. Got a new gig.
What's yes, it's official. Multiple reports say he's been hired as the new defensive line coach at North Carolina. Going back to North Carolina, that's where he came from.
Mm-hmm.
Was on Fedora's staff 1 year there and then came to South Carolina for three and East Carolina this past season. So interesting hire, in my opinion. Probably means they're going to get his son in Chapel Hill, who's an excellent recruit. But I don't know that I would have done that. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's interesting. Interesting. So we'll see how that plays out for the
I mean, congratulations to him for getting a job.
Sure.
I mean, that's he must interview very, very well. I mean, because,
yeah,
you know.
Track record's not really
your resume is your tape, and I don't know how you can turn on the tape from, I mean 2013 and see Jadeveon Clowney get three sacks and. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Clemson plays Louisville tonight. We will have that for you. College basketball here on ESPN Upstate. 8:30 airtime. 9 o'clock is the tip from the Yum Center. Once they serve some KFC there, I'm going to say yes. 22,000 seats in that place. Can Clemson beat Louisville, the number 12 in the country? That's a challenge. Louisville's 15-3, only 3-2 in conference. And Clemson's on that losing streak, and they're 1-4 in the ACC, JC. This would be a great win for Clemson, but, man, that's a tall order.
Yeah, it'd be huge. But Louisville's playing really well right now. Rick Pitino has those guys going. It's a tough place to win. But, look, anything can happen. It's the ACC. It's tough, and Louisville doesn't bring its A game. Clemson's good enough to go up there and beat them.
Last time the Tiger program defeated a ranked ACC team on the road, want to take a guess? It's been a while. March 4th, 2007, ranked ACC team on the road. It was in Blacksburg, Virginia, at Virginia Tech. They won 75-74. So, I haven't had a lot of success there. I mean, they just beat South Carolina on the road this year and broke a long streak where they hadn't beaten a ranked team on the road, period. This is a ranked conference team on the road. They could do that tonight. Also, the news out of Major League Baseball world about who got in and who didn't get in to the Hall of Fame last night. Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, Pudge Rodriguez get in. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens do not. And Curt Schilling does not. Some thoughts on that from Bob Costas.
Bonds and Clemens aren't just run-of-the-mill Hall of Famers. They were, on their natural merits, if they had retired in the late 90s, they would have been first ballot inner circle Hall of Famers. They're historic players. Are we troubled by some of what their history is? Of course we are. And should that be duly noted? Yes. But ultimately, I would have voted for them after withholding it on the first ballot. And I think now, as you get closer, it isn't just the younger writers who are driven more by sabermetrics. It's as you get closer to 10 years, and this is now their fifth year on the ballot, more and more writers are going to say, all right, the point has been made. These guys who should have waltzed in nearly unanimously if they had never touched anything stronger than a protein shake, we've kept them out for 7 or 8 or 9 years. Eventually, they are going to get in. And although it's an uncomfortable thing to talk about when it hasn't been 100% proven, Ivan Rodriguez is going to get in, and there's circumstantial evidence. When that starts to happen, Jeff Bagwell is going to get in. Then people are going to look at other people either suspected of or even in some cases directly connected to PED use. They're going to look at them in a different light.
Well, Bagwell did get in along with Raines and Rodriguez. Schilling, however, JC, is going the other way. His vote last year was 52%. Now it's 45% this year.
Which I think is a crock of BS.
Because people don't
agree with his politics.
Like him.
I don't care.
Because he's a jerk. They're voting because he's a jerk. And he is a jerk.
But he's
a great player.
Listen, this is ridiculous. It's just like the, one of the social justice warriors that works at 24/7 wrote this article today about the playoff committee not being diverse or not having enough women. I mean, look, it is what it is. It's sports. Can we just do sports? Mm-hmm. Just talk about his bloody sock.
not as politics.
All right, back tomorrow with a lot more to talk about. It'll be the Friday show here in the huddle. We'll be on at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Thank you for listening. Don't forget our frequency move coming up Saturday morning in Greenville from 105.9 FM to 97.7 FM. Better coverage there. Straight Up with Sturgis next. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow in the huddle.
Is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.